Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And we are here in the warmth. We're having plenty of warm weather up here. Yeah, I know other parts of the country are getting a lot hotter area. We have been a little bit over 100, but it's going to temporarily cool down for 2 or 3 days and then go right back up above 100 the middle of this next week. So we have been, I always give you a little report of the area. We're just in the middle of lots of the work with trees and getting fruits, and there are some apricots coming off right now. The cherries are pretty much coming off, not around this area, but in other areas of the state. And so I hope you enjoy the fruits of summer. I know the various vegetable gardens around the large vegetable ones that supply food for various people. We have people coming over from Seattle and other areas just to come to the valley to either get that or go to some of the many wineries that have opened up in the past few years. And so this is a wonderful agricultural area. God bless you. As I said, coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation, and we have been in the studying the Book of John. Today I had some unusual experiences for me. I got to be able to be involved in teaching a class for about 4 to 5 hours today, intensive class that usually just is taught over a month's time, about an hour, hour and a half a night. And so that was interesting. It was dealing with your, especially your giftings. You have natural giftings that have been given to you by God Almighty. Then there's also gifts called gifts of the Holy Spirit and other types of gifts that are given also by God to his body, what he calls sometimes the church. And that, in other words, the church is not a building at all. It's a group of people that, as the Bible describes it, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and there's many members that make up the body. And of course, if the members, if different parts of our body aren't working together, we got a problem. That's what you see when somebody might be spastic or something, because it's not getting the information from the head to that part of the body. It is the synapses or the nerves and things aren't just going properly. And so it can be with a group of people as well. So we can listen and read and see what the desire of God Almighty is for us. And it's for us to be built up together in the body of Christ, that we serve each other. So one part of the body is trying to accomplish something, but it is helps other parts, and other parts help it, and that's how things are accomplished. And so it was interesting to be a part of that, to see people growing in their understanding of God's purpose and direction for their life. And so we tonight, we are going to be in the Gospel of John once again. We are up to chapter 15. This is the chapters 13 through 17 are as far as in the time leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, where he is really speaking to his disciples and letting them know his innermost thoughts that are really important, and that he's conveying to them right at the end of a person's life. Now, he did come back to life in 3 days, and he spent more time with them, actually, for another 40 days. There's a time called when he died was at the time of Passover, as far as the Jewish calendar. And then there was something called Pentecost. Penta is 50 or 5, 50. And it's Penta is 50 days later. And so he was here for 40 days of that, and then he spoke to his disciples and told that when he ascended finally up to heaven, this was, of course, he ascended into heaven right after he was raised from the dead. People saw him, and then he ascended into heaven. We see that indication there in the Gospels that he tells one of the ladies, "Don't touch me now, because I have not yet ascended to my Father." But go tell the disciples, go tell people that I'm risen. And then later that same day, he is back again, and people see him. And then he tells them openly that, "Go ahead, handle me now. See that I'm not just a spirit. That you can see the holes in my hands and the holes in my feet, and also the piercing of the spear went through his side," and also said, "Give me some food to eat." That a spirit isn't able to take food and eat it, and so. Here they were actually handling him, touching him, and he was actually eating in their presence. And then he spent 40 days here on earth that he would appear, disappear, and it would just be, he wouldn't necessarily go through a door, like he had just appeared to them. All of a sudden he came and just appeared, like if he could walk through a wall. And of course, in the spirit realm, there is no difference from one place to another. Being able to project oneself and then just all of a sudden taking physical or material form. And he did that. We also see that from some of his disciples, because God would be using them in one place, but then he would need them someplace else, and they didn't have the time to go there. So to be in that other place, they were just immediately transferred or transformed through from one place to another. And so there wasn't a matter of speed, it was the speed of thought. So all of a sudden there is something faster than the speed of light, and that is the speed of thought. And one day, I'm sure, we will understand it lots more than we do now. If God reveals how he does it, I don't know if he'll reveal how he does it. Well, we don't really need to know, but it'll be, I'm sure it gives him pleasure, God Almighty pleasure, to reveal things to us. He says he will be found by those of us who diligently seek him. And so one of the things is there needs to be a love. Do you have a relationship with somebody? Well, the question is preceding a relationship. The question really should be, do you have fellowship with them? Are you talking with them? Are you listening for anything to be spoken back to you? Fellowship is the matter of you're hanging out together, basically, with God. And so there's a communication. What happens then is through the fellowship is then there is a relationship that is developed out of that. Well, today we are in the middle of this fellowship and relationship Jesus is having with his disciples. We are in chapter 15 of the book of John. If you have a Bible handy, the book of John is in the New Testament. You can divide up the Bible into the first three quarters or three-fourths, and that's the Old Testament, and the last one-fourth, which is the New Testament. If you go to the last one-fourth, it starts out with four books called the Gospels, which means good news. In fact, it meant more than what we translate as good news. It was, if you understand the original Greek, it was close to the word evangelize, and so it was more than just good news. It was such good news that it implied that you had to tell somebody about it. So it wasn't something that you held within you, to kept to yourself. So we are in the fourth one of those Gospels. The first three are very similar. This is a little bit different, definitely different gospel than the other three. They're both all teaching about Jesus Christ and his life and his miracles and his crucifixion and resurrection. John has a little bit different perspective. It even goes into his pre-existence with God, the Father, and how he was with God in the beginning and created. Everything was created through Jesus Christ. So it's definitely a different position. Also in this book, it gives the prayer, what is truly the Lord's Prayer, and not the disciples' prayer. What we often call the Lord's Prayer is our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Your kingdom or thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins or our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us or sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine or yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We often call that the Lord's Prayer. But it's really the disciples' prayer, because that's what the disciples asked Jesus. Okay, how should we pray? In the book of John, though, we see the Lord's Prayer, which is the prayer he prayed to his heavenly Father with his disciples. He was there with them. He prayed this, and it was recorded down what he prayed to the Father before. Before his betrayal and at the end of what we call the Lord's Supper in the upper room, as they were just going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. So they're leaving a place in Jerusalem and going a little ways outside, within a mile outside the city, and to this place. And so this chapter 17 is that prayer. But we are in chapter 15, that probably the key verse in the chapter 14 that we came out of. We happened to mention at the end of the show a couple weeks ago, and then we briefly covered it at the beginning of last week's show, and that is verse 6 of 14 of chapter 14. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Which is, my goodness, in today's world, everybody wants to be all-inclusive and everything. Well, God is not all-inclusive. Yes, he loves everybody. We understand that, but he hates evil. In fact, he couldn't look at his own son Jesus when Jesus was on the cross, and that's why Jesus cried out he was quoting from an Old Testament scripture, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, the reason was plain, because the Word of God clearly says that God cannot look on sin. And Jesus, as he said, was that all sin had been placed on him on the cross, and therefore his Father and he were separated for the first and only time in all eternity. And they had to be separated at that time, because to do justice, even though God is is love, not of love, he's not a God just of God, of love, but he is love, he's also a God of justice. And there has to be justice. And that justice was taken care of through Jesus Christ. That way, God is able to show his mercy and grace towards us, that we might have fellowship and then also relationship with God Almighty, with his Son, Jesus Christ. So this statement that we had last week, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, is the really, perhaps, one of the most radical statements in the Bible. Because there's so many today who want to say we can get to God some other way. Well, that's what religions do, is that religions always want to work their way into a place of being united with God. So it's a matter of so much of works, of good works, of trying to attain a certain place. Well, God says, yes, there is one good work that you need to do. So if you want to know what that good work is, I'll let you know. That good work is to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what he calls the good work, is to believe on Jesus Christ. So you're believing on all the work of what he said and the things he did, and that he is the Son of God, as he declared that in him not only is a way, but he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Now, we all receive life from him, but in him he was life. So we only have our life when we are in him. And while we are here on the earth, it's just a brief time. So we need to be in him, that we might receive eternal life through him. So verse 1 of chapter 15 this week, we're moving into chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. Says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, before we go on, we notice that back in verse 3 it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God is what cleans us. We also see other scriptures as far as being washed. We are being washed by the word of God. That's how we become cleansed. And so we might easily just read over this and it not mean much to us. But if we notice this, we see that when Jesus is saying, you are clean. Of course, at this time, Judas had already left. There's Judas Iscariot, he's the betrayer. there is another Judas that was one of the disciples as well. So he was still there. But the betrayer one had left. And he's saying this to those that are remaining there in the upper room. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. That means, in other words, you and I, he's calling us to live in him. Abide in him. So it's not just a part-time thing. It's not like coming in and out. It's abiding with somebody. That means you are with them always. So Jesus is no longer just part of your life, but he is your life, and that he goes where you go, and you are aware of that. And so you're constantly fellowshipping with him because and speaking to him because he's going every place you go. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What does a branch do? It brings forth life. We've got trees out here. We've got behind us, our neighbor has grapes. I think there's plenty of places around here for wine grapes. I think they raise grapes for Welch's grape juice. And these limbs out here, they can't produce apples, except they're abiding in the tree. They're abiding in an apple tree, and because they are tied into it, they produce apples. Well, so Jesus is making this reference also to us, is that he's saying, abide in me, so and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Well, that makes plenty of sense, that if we go out and cut off a branch, it's going to wither and die, and it's not going to produce any fruit. The only way it produces the fruit is that it abides in the tree or in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, in other words, once again, lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is a big thing in the Gospels, I see, is this matter of fruitfulness. And it's something that, you see, we're not saved by being fruitful. We are saved by our belief in God's Son and the work he's done. But the thing is, you're also going to be bearing fruit. There's another scripture that talks about works, good works. It was long thought that by other religions and a misteaching in the dark ages of Christianity, there, even though there's many things that were taught wrong, there's always a remnant of people that were sticking to the truth. Well, this is, as far as abiding in God, causes us to bear good fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, once again, we can certainly see that. You cut us off from the, or cut branches off, and they just don't bear fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Boy. We quickly read over that, but there's so much there. We were mentioning that as far as fruit, and we're mentioning things about being saved, and being saved was never accomplished through trying to bear fruit, or as we see in the Bible, other places, trying to perform good works. In many religions, they try to perform good works, but the Bible clearly states that we are saved by faith and faith alone. However, we also see in the Bible that if we are saved, there will be good works. So, good works isn't a way to be saved. However, it's going to be in our life if we are saved, because the power of God works in us, and it's just like the sap in the tree. It's flowing through. And if the sap is flowing through, and if it's budded, and then it starts growing after it's budded, then the flower it comes out to the full, and is pollinated, and the petals drop off, and the apple starts forming, and it starts bearing fruit. It starts gradually growing, and it can't do that apart from the tree. And just like we can't really produce good fruit. We can produce plenty of bad fruit on our own. But when we're grafted into Him, then He gives us the ability to produce good fruit. And so we come after that. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that's a matter of we're abiding in Him and His words. So where do we find His words? We find His words in the Word of God. And if we get a word from some other source, if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, the Word of God clearly says, let that person that brings you that word be accursed. In other words, if it contradicts the Word of God, then we are to take the Word of God rather than some other word. Now, another word may confirm something, and the Holy Spirit may quicken you to that, but it will align up with the Word of God if it's from God. So he's saying that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, well, there's only one way for his words to abide in you, that you have fellowship with him, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're reading God's word, or you're listening to God's word. And so it becomes a part of your innermost being. You will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. God is not one that wants to restrict you. He wants to fulfill you. You see, when we are grafted into Him, the desires we had will be directed in the right direction, because that His desires will become alongside of ours, and they will change our desires. Maybe they'll be in the same direction, but they will be purified, and our desires, it's God's desire that our desires be fulfilled. It says, and it will be done for you. So, lots of times we can't even accomplish things on our own. So, what this is showing is that there's a will and intention by us, but then He will come alongside of us and fulfill those desires that we have. So it's not just a reliance on ourselves, and all of a sudden they come about, or even after long work that they come about, but they come about because it is a desire in your heart. You don't turn loose of it. It's like a bulldog or a pit bull that snatches down on something, that's able to lock their jaws on something, and then it's by the great mercy and grace of God that comes along and goes along with your desires, and it says it shall be done for you. In other words, it's not just you that do it. You may have the desire, but then God working in and through you then brings that desire to pass. By this, my Father is glorified. Okay, here's something else, that our desires being fulfilled and our trusting in Him, we are trusting in Him, His word, we are abiding in Him, His words are abiding in us. This glorifies His Father, Heavenly Father. Jesus' Heavenly Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So it's God's desire to fulfill your desires as you abide in Him and His, and you abide or live in His Word, then your desires are conformed to God Almighty's desires. God Almighty is then glorified in you, that you bear much fruit. You see, this is truly for me out here in the middle of the orchard. You want trees to bear much fruit. You don't want a bunch of cruddy stuff. You want some quality. That's why it says that the husbandman, or the one that's the farmer, comes along and prunes those trees that they might bear more fruit and they might bear good fruit. There's a style of pruning dependent on the type of fruit it is. Some requires little pruning, some requires a great number of cuts, and it's not pleasant to be pruned. But the purpose of that, he says, if you bear fruit and you're abiding in Him, that you're under His blessings, He disciplines those He loves. So this, don't look at discipline like, boy, did I ever blow it, or something God's mean. No. If you love God, He's going to take an active role in blessing you. Sometimes some things are going to hurt a bit because we don't want a tree out here with a whole lot of shoots of growth all over the place. Lots of that is going to take away strength from the good limbs and also take away strength from the fruit. It's not going to mature properly, or to the size, or to the taste. It's not going to taste as well if all this energy is shooting off every which way. So we want some of that new growth, definitely, for the tree's size to overall increase. But we want a lot of the growth to be also put in to the fruit, that it's bearing good fruit, and so that the growth of the tree is directed in certain limbs, and so that the limbs aren't right close together, that's going to bruise up each other, and that or bruise up the fruit, or being at too sharp of angles that can later cause a split in the tree and destroy it, so that it will never attain to its what it could attain to if it's pruned properly. So being pruned, even though it may be unpleasant for the time, it's because God's love and care for us, and it's the farmer's love and care for the trees that causes that tree to be able to bear much fruit and good fruit. So it says here once again, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How are you going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is that first, you're abiding in Him. You're abiding in Jesus, therefore you're abiding in God Almighty. We also see the next saying is that His words, God's words, Jesus' words, are abiding in you. The Bible is part of your life. It's not just a little part over here, but it's a part that permeates every area of your life. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Why is that? It says because it glorifies God. It glorifies the Father. That's why it is His good pleasure. He loves you. He wants your desire fulfilled. And you see, that glorifies Him, that you bear much fruit. And so Jesus says, you will be my disciples in that way. So you might ask, how am I supposed to get right with God? How am I supposed to be one with God? Well, remember what he said. There's one work. We often think of all these different works we can do. There's only one work that is acceptable to God. It says that the one work that is acceptable is to believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. And that is the one work. It's not doing something, working up, or accomplishing something great. It's believing on what God has done through his Son, Jesus. Okay. We are in the Gospel of John in the New Testament, chapter 15 and verse 9 now, for those that may have just turned on to this program. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is so good. This is so very good. It says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. And then telling us to abide in his love. So, you see, God isn't one that hates you. Maybe as far as you step out of line, he's going to whomp you. We often perhaps did not come as a possibility, you or different people didn't come from a place where there was a father at all, or if there was a father, that they were not a good father. So our perception of the father may be really skewed, way off base of what a true loving father is. And so the true father loves you, we see. And also he's declaring that I love you. Jesus Christ is declaring that. And he's saying, commanding us in a very gentle way. I mean, abide. Okay, the Father loves you. I love you. Now you abide or live in my love. Now listen to this. What is living in his love? We want to see this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he's asking us to do what he has done. He said that I do nothing except what I see and hear my Father doing. So he was always looking to what God his Father was desiring to happen here on earth. He was looking as far as whether there's miracles or what teaching or where to go next. He was always listening to his Father. He wanted to see, okay, these things were already planned out ahead of time. And so, Father, just show me where you are going, or what's the next place that our next miracle that you want performed, or the next word spoken, or the next deliverance spoken, and people set free. How you love them. And it's often we see that Jesus, it says, talks about him as being moved with compassion. So he is filled with compassion towards people. And so, but to minister that compassion, he had to look to his Father. He wasn't looking to the people to try to minister to them. He wanted to minister to them, but to do that properly, he had to look to his Father and see what his Heavenly Father was doing. So he's telling us to do the same thing. We're supposed to turn around and look to him and see what he's doing. What would he desire? And therefore, that's the way we need to love our fellow man. If you keep my commandments, you will abide or live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is God's desire for you and me, is that we might be filled with joy. that his joy is in us, and that our joy may be full. Well, our joy is not going to be full unless his joy is in us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's a song, let me see. Of course, I'm not a singer, but I just remembered, I probably haven't sung this song for probably years, but I think it goes something like this, and I don't think I remember all the verses or anything. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And then it goes on. So it's that this is a commandment of God, that we love one another. It just says, and then he goes into the, just as I have loved you. Well, my goodness. Now he's asking for something seemingly impossible. I mean, he laid down his life for us. Well, he's telling us to not lay down our lives for him, but it's much harder to live for somebody for years. We can think of a one-time sacrifice. Well, he did a one-time eternal sacrifice for us. He also, for one time, only time that he was separated from his heavenly Father, that because his Father could not look on sin, our sin was in him and on him because of that. Even though he was counted as a sinless lamb, there was always the innocent in the Old Testament, the innocent apple animal that was spotless, that was, there was no defect in him, that had to be offered up. Something that had a defect in it could not be offered. It was totally unpleasing to God. It had to be something that was prized. And so Jesus Christ was the prized and the only, the true Son of God. See, there's only begotten Son of God that was with God in the beginning, from the beginning. Now, we are all called sons of God. Whether you're a daughter or a son, you're called the sons of God. Just like the sons are called part of the bride of Christ. So we are chosen by God if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that's really a question that we have, is that you're a fantastic person. You're a wonderful person. Yes, there's really only two types of people in this world. And either you're one of those that are saved, or you're one of those that are about to be saved. So which one are you? Are you already saved? Have you already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you one that's about to be saved? I just have one thing to say. Don't leave earth without being saved. Don't leave earth being about to be saved. Repeat this after me from your heart. Father, forgive my sins. That's right. Go ahead. Say that. Repeat that out loud from your heart. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Where's Jesus right now? If you prayed that, you've asked him into your heart, and that's where he is. If you want to be sure, let's just go through that prayer once again. Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. So here in John, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These are important words. Remember, this is just a few hours before his crucifixion. So he's speaking what's truly, truly important. You always, a person's last words, especially a person knows that they're going to die, you want to know what, okay, if they're a loved one of yours, you want to know what those last words are, because they're important and something that, well, you take note of. And this is his words to us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what he had already committed to do. He had committed to do that before he had ever came to this earth. Before the earth's foundation, God the Father and his Son saw that in creation, that man would turn his back on God. But he made a way for us. It says in the short little book of 1 John, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1:9. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So do we have a heart after God? If Jesus Christ is your Lord, in other words, your boss, your king, your lover, I mean, is he the one that is more precious than anybody else to you? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So remember, he wasn't doing anything except what he heard his Father saying and doing. And he, in turn, was turning around and telling us. He was telling us those things through the Word of God now. He is telling that to his friends. They weren't just servants anymore. They weren't just disciples anymore. That were truly, they were disciples that were that were following after their master with all their heart. But he's saying, okay, you're not just servants or just the ones that are following me, but now I call you friends. So it says here, once again, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Remember a little bit earlier it said, as far as in God's desire, really, was to seek our desires, and that they, as we lived in him and abided in him, he would fulfill those desires. That it sounds like that we have to have the will, we have to plan our way, we have to seek him for the vision, and then we have to work towards it. But he is the one in charge of the fulfillment of that. Often, sometimes may seem like they're not going to come to pass because there's all sorts of obstacles. You say, there is a Satan. There's one that is working against you, that wants to destroy your trust and faith in God, that wants to get you off track, to look at the failures and everything else. And if we do that and don't get our eyes back on Jesus, we're going to, just like Peter, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was called out of the boat. He said, if that's you, Jesus, then let me call forth and have me walk to you. Well, and he did something the other disciples didn't do. He actually got out of the boat and walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus. And all of a sudden he was looking at the winds and the waves and everything else. And it says, then he began to sink. Well, the reason why was because he took his eyes off Jesus. So God's purpose for you is that he has chosen you. He has appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So it's not just fruit that, like normal fruit. You see, normal fruit, it passes away. But it says that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. So it's God's good pleasure to give you your desires, that you might be blessed, which glorifies him. You see, when we are blessed, we are to honor him and give him the praise and the glory for that. That glorifies God the Father. These things, Jesus said, I command you, that you love one another. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. So faith is really really important. And how do you have faith? We understand from it, every man, woman has been given a measure of faith. But it says we've got to use it. We've got to take that faith and trust in God Almighty. It says that we must believe in him and diligently seek after God, and that these sayings he then commands us that we love one another. So we're following after God. He also says along with this that we love one another. So we are looking to our brothers and sisters and we are caring for them. Well, this about faith that I was just mentioning, it says in the Word of God that faith, which is the thing that pleases God, works through love. So, how does your faith work? Other ways are ways that we're trying to work things up through some other way, like satanic ways that want to gain power some other way, or any leading that is apart from the gospel of Christ Jesus. And so we need to come back to God Almighty. We need to come back to Jesus Christ. And you see, it's God's good pleasure to give us our desire. It's also, he commands us, really, that we are to ask the Father in his name, in Jesus' name, that he may give it to you. Then he declares, okay, also, I command you that you love one another. So faith worketh through love. Then he see Jesus, what happened? It says, talks about him doing all these miracles in Matthew, but it was, he would be filled with compassion towards the people. And often that was when he felt this great compassion that there was, he would teach the people, he would, all these miracles would be performed because he loved them. And so faith, that sort of activating ingredient that activates faith to have great, great faith and belief and releasing the power of the universe, which is God Almighty, and it releases that in such a way that miracles are performed. That's because it is activated through love. It's not just faith for faith's sake, but it's through love. That's how faith is activated. We come here towards the end of the chapter, these last few words that we see here. If the world hates you, this is verse 18 of chapter 15 in the book of John. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works, in other words, this is when he's talking about works, these are signs and wonders, in other words, great miracles. If I had not done among them these great miracles, which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also have hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without cause. Now we see that this is a seemingly contrast of God. Jesus has been talking to his disciples. Now he's talking about the world's hatred of him. And certainly when he says the world, this is not just saying everybody or the creation. Certainly the creation didn't hate him. The creation knew who he was. This is those individuals that were trying to retain the glory and the honor to themselves, that were trying to maintain something that was very legalistic and was hard-nosed, and they were getting the attention of everybody. They were the leaders of everybody, and they did not want this taken away from them. They were very selfish in that. And he's referring to this world's hatred, this world's system's hatred. And he who hates me, he says, hates my Father also. And he's saying that their sin wouldn't be counted so much against them, except he did these wonderful, compassionate miracles and signs and wonders, and yet they still hated him. That's why it was counted as such great sin towards them, because miracles and blessings were occurring, and it was evident to all. And it says that one of the reasons that they came against him, because they said the whole world is coming after Jesus. They're all desiring to come after him. And so they hated him all the more, and therefore they plotted to destroy him and to kill him. Well, this says that they hated me without a cause. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. So when he says the Helper, this is what he's calling the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay, those last two verses in chapter 15, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit coming to you. Now, we see before, the Holy Spirit went with people, but they hadn't, and even people were, disciples were able to do great miracles by themselves. It wasn't just Jesus doing miracles. It was the disciples, 12 disciples, and also the Spirit, the Holy Spirit also went with a group of 70 that went out and raised the dead, cast out devils, healed the sick, and proclaimed the good news of the gospel. But here we see that this helper who comes, he's not only going to just come alongside to perform miracles when the word of God is spoken, but it's one that is going to come and indwell people. So if you answered earlier tonight and said, ask Jesus to come into my heart and make me the kind of person you want me to be, then not only did Jesus come in, but the Holy Spirit came in. Now, that doesn't mean you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but that now you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There's for being filled with the Holy Spirit, it comes through a great desire and love for God, and you just want more and more and more of Him. And then there can become an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And just like on the day of Pentecost, you will be able to speak with new tongues as well. And but you may not understand. There's two purposes for tongues in the Bible. One is to be used in the church, but only when there's an interpretation present, that somebody that has the gift of interpretation, that people might be built up and edified. The other example of tongues is for every believer, really. And the purpose of tongues there is to build yourself up. You see, if God calls upon us that we are to speak in tongues. St. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he was wishing that everybody spoke in tongues. He was wishing that everybody would prophesy. But you see, the purpose of tongues in the church setting, as I said, but also then private in your prayer, we are supposed to pray with our understanding and pray in the Spirit. Well, that's what the purpose of tongues are. It says the Holy Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God. So we are instructed to do both, to pray with our understanding and to pray in the Spirit. We are supposed to sing with our understanding and sing in the Spirit. So this gift of God that God desires for you, let's call upon Him to start getting in the Word of God and just loving Jesus more and asking Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that you might not just have the Holy Spirit in you and with you, but that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this is not a one-time event. We need to, when we pray on a daily basis, that we pray with our understanding, but then we also pray in the Spirit, because we know that the Spirit, when the Spirit prays through us, that it is according to the perfect will of God. And so we want the perfect will of God prayed through us concerning our circumstances and for those we love and for intercession towards the world and our leaders. We are supposed to pray daily according to the Word of God, which declares that we are supposed to bless and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. We're supposed to pray for our leaders in this country. You may be violently almost opposed to certain leaders, but you're supposed to not pray to try to change them. You're supposed to pray to that God have the glory be revealed in and through them, that they might be the instrument of God rather than the instrument of man. It says that even at the time of the Roman occupation of much of the world at that time, it was called for them to pray for their leaders that they might lead a peaceable life. And so we come to the end here. It says, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. That's what's going to happen to you. As you're with Jesus and you get the Word of God in you, you will bear witness. It's like a tree. It's going to bear fruit. These apple trees are going to bear apples. Why? Because those limbs are tied in with the trunk of the tree. And there's apple sap flowing through them. There are apple buds that come out on those limbs. Those limbs blossom. They develop into apples. They're going to bear fruit. And you, as you become part of Jesus Christ, become part of God, is that you will also bear fruit. It says you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So if you're with Jesus, you can't be a secret disciple. You are going to testify and declare Jesus in your relationships with other people. because he has become a part of you. And you are becoming salt and light in the world because of that. Because Jesus is now living in and through you. The Holy Spirit is living in and through you. And he will empower you to become light in the dark world, salt in a place that has lost its tastiness or savor. You are going to become the light of the world. And it's who is it? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit living in and through you. Where does the power come from? It comes from God Almighty. That's how you become the light of the world. You listen to the Word of God. You read the Word of God. You ask Him to fill every area of your life. You say, Father, forgive my sins. Go ahead. Say, Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. This is Dr. Don Callen coming to you from South Central Washington State. And my address is P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. I've got you send me a letter, and if you pray this prayer with me, or if you just want to write me, just write me, and I'll send you a free book. Also, I've got a couple other books that I ask a donation to for. They are very, very excellent books. One's called The Power of Positive Desire by T.L. Osborne, and the other is called The Good Life by T.L. Osborne. The Good Life is almost like they're easy reading, very easy reading, with just loaded with scriptures. If you want to really you don't have to go and read the scriptures. They'll be right there in the book, but it'll give you references to find things in the Bible. And The Good Life is almost like a miniature Bible course that is just power-packed. The Power of Positive Desire will give you a new and a full look at what the world is dishing out there. The best part of the world tries to dish out as far as renewing people without coming to God, and as far as making them more powerful, more effective. Well, this is tying you into God. Well, this is going to do the right job. It's not going to be a false way of doing things, but it's going to be the true way. And so these are both, either one of them, for offering to Global Redeeming Ministries of $15 a piece, or for both of them at the same time for $25. And I said, you just write me, there's another book that I'll send you out, be glad to. And all these are about close to 300 pages, but they're very easy reads. And so, once again, my name is Dr. Don Callen. It's Global Redeeming Ministries, P.O. Box 90, and it's Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Washington, 98939. And this is 70707. That's the date today. And only happens once a century, and that we end up with that date. And we just bless you from God Almighty. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask that Jesus live large in you, that the Holy Spirit is released in your life, that you be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, spirit, soul, and body. And also, we ask for the release of God's power into your finances. And if you are afflicted by any disease, that you set free from that. If you are afflicted of any devil or demon, that by the blood of Jesus, we command those evil spirits off you and out of you, that you might be set free. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ Almighty over you, that the life of God Almighty come in you, that there be no place for darkness to abide in you any longer. You need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for you to be set free, and also that you trust in Him, that you be delivered from torment from the enemy. We just love you, and we'll talk to you, God willing, again next week. In Jesus Christ's name, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Have a great week. Amen. Bye-bye.